Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You want the upper hand in your fantasy football leagues? Then you've come to the right place. You're listening to the Upper Hand Fantasy Podcast. Now, here's your host, Faraz Siddiqui and Zach Rizzuto.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. Took a day off from the show yesterday. Had a sick kid at home. But now we're back. We're talking quarterbacks and running backs going into the fantasy semifinals, week 16. And I have none other than Steve Rippey to help us break down all these players and their matchups. Welcome back, Steve.
Thanks, buddy. No, I've been enjoying this. I'm glad you keep calling me back. I mean, I hope I'm providing good info.
I'm not sure why either. I feel like you were like, yeah, I'm just not sure why like you keep having me back on. Steve, it's because you know you keep me grounded. You know you provide a different angle to a lot of these decisions that we all have to make every week. Guys, if you don't know, Steve runs one of my favorite Instagram accounts, completely revolved around fantasy football. It's called Fantasy Guides. Okay, so we'll make sure to put that into the description so you can see, you know, what he has going on there, what he's cooking over there. It's a great account. Make sure to check it out. But yeah, Steve, like, you know, this is a very, it's an amazing time of year, you know, if you make it into the playoffs, but it is very, you know, it's a very sensitive time for a lot of us because, you know, we are on edge. We want to make sure that we make the right decisions. That's why you're here. So you're here to help everyone make the right decision. And if they don't, and if you tell them something that causes them to not make it to the next round, they will come after you.
This is the week. I mean, playoffs, man. That's when I'm the most nervous. I'm like, even when I'm putting my posts out, I look over them 5 to 10 times. I'm like, do I have the right guy picked? Did I have the right process? And I definitely had some hits last week, but definitely had some misses. And I'm going to try to have all hits this week, though, Faraz, and I'm sure you are as well.
That's all we could do, man. By the way, guys, we have Saturday games again. So we have the Saints and Rams tonight on Thursday, followed by two games on Saturday. That's Bengals, Steelers, and Bills, Chargers on Saturday. So make sure you get those lineups set, you know, obviously for tonight, but also on Saturday morning too. But let's just talk about the game real quick tonight. Chris Olave will play. The matchup is very good against the Rams, so I think he should be in lineups. I wouldn't get too cute with it this week. Alvin Kamara, he's in lineups as an RB1. How are you feeling about Derek Carr as a streamer this week? I'm not overly excited about it. You know, it's a good matchup. And like last week, I didn't like him at all because of how he looked the previous week. But then like he always comes through in these random times. So like if I like him this week or tonight, like that means that he's not going to do well. Like that's just kind of how it's been working with Derek Carr.
Yeah, I did move him up a little bit. I think, you know, I was looking at consensus. He's in the 20s, I think, on consensus. I ended up moving him up to QB 18. He's kind of in that Nick Mullins, Joe Flacco range for me. I don't know where you have those guys, but there's a number of like Baker Mayfield types that are good streamers this week. And I do like Carr. He's probably not quite my favorite, but yeah, like I got him about QB 18.
Yeah, that's kind of where I have him too. I have him at 17, so very similar. I do have the guys that you mentioned, Browning, Flacco, Mullins, over him.
Okay,
this too. Week, and we'll get to them in a little bit. But Stafford, you know, he on the other side of this. Let's see, where am I? I'm just completely lost. Okay, on the other side of the ball, yeah, Cooper Kupp, right? He has to be in lineups. He has the best matchup between him and Puka Nacua. They have been very good against wide receivers over. The Saints have been very good against wide receivers overall lately, but you know they're giving up the second fewest fantasy points to wide receivers this year. But it's like I have to have Kupp in, right? He's a wide receiver one for me this week. You know, based on what we've seen over the last 2 weeks, he's kind of back at this point, right? And I think Puka is more of a wide receiver too.
Yeah, I've got both of them really close in my rankings. I got them both as like back end wide receiver ones. I'm not worried about it being a tougher matchup. They both did good against Baltimore 2 weeks ago in a tough matchup. Puka had the good game against Cleveland in a bad matchup a couple weeks ago. I think you just talked about Olave. You're not overthinking it. I'm kind of the same way with these two receivers.
That makes sense. And Stafford's got it done the last 4 weeks as well. He's had his best four fantasy games this year over the last 4 weeks, a couple of them in tough matchups. But, you know, this is kind of a situation where he has all his guys, right? He has Kyren Williams. He has Puka. He has Cooper Kupp. I have him at QB 13 this week. Does that sound about right, or is that kind of low for Stafford?
I'm actually a little bit higher than that. I got him at 8 right now. Just ahead of Tua, behind, you know, like Mahomes, Jackson, Purdy. I got him kind of right behind those guys, but I was comparing him to players like Tua and Goff. And I know Goff had the big game last week, but I think it's a little tougher for him on the road this week. I just like the way Stafford's playing. Like you just said, his last four games have been the best of his season so far. And I just feel like the Rams are hitting it at the right time.
Yeah, and of course, Kyren Williams is in your lineup too. If you want to go check out my rankings for this week, go to upperhandfantasy.com. My rankings are up there. Our consensus rankings for all of Upper Hand is there as well from the entire team. I do want to get to some news real quick before we move on to quarterbacks and running backs. Jonathan Taylor is going to be practicing in full speed on Thursday. That's today. This is really going to determine whether he plays or not. There was a practice estimation on Wednesday. Taylor was listed as a full participant. Zach Moss was listed as a DNP, which means he would not have practiced. So we just have to monitor the situation, get the results and any updates from the team moving forward. We saw JT have a big role before he got hurt. You know, how should we be treating him this week?
Yeah, I like JT this week. Thinking that if Moss doesn't play, obviously I like him that much more. I have him as like a back end RB1. I was kind of debating between him and, you know, your Derrick Henry, Travis Etienne. I kind of have him in that range, maybe Breece Hall as well. But he's absolutely in your lineup. I can't picture, you'd have to be pretty stacked, in my opinion, to have him not make a lineup.
Yeah, I think if Jonathan Taylor plays, he should be in lineup. So Zach Moss is banged up, right? And in the two games before JT got hurt, 75% of snaps, 89% of snaps. And this isn't like a lower body injury. So this isn't necessarily an injury that would, like, you know, keep him off the field or, you know, have it be a reason for him to be limited, right? This is not a good matchup on paper against Atlanta. The Falcons have not allowed a rushing touchdown to running backs all season long. But the volume should be there for him, right? Chuba Hubbard just had 22 carries against them last week. Rashad White had 25 carries against them the week before. I have him as a high-end RB2 this week. So, you know, I don't have him as a low-end RB1 play, but he's right there. He's right there. Yep. And I like the guys that you mentioned in terms of, like, what kind of range he's in. I did move Derrick Henry over him because I kind of like the matchup a little bit better. I am a little bit worried about Will Levis not playing, and we'll get to that in a little bit. But, you know, that's kind of where – that's also kind of the range where I have him as well.
I think we're similar in that.
Yeah, keep an eye on Kenneth Walker's practice reports. He estimated as a DNP on Wednesday because of a shoulder injury. They did play on Monday night, and he did get a ton of volume. So that's possibly why, you know, they're just kind of being on the safe side there. Greg Bell, who's a beat reporter for the Seahawks, said that we shouldn't be too alarmed. Now, in terms of Kenneth Walker, like, we saw the touch disparity was pretty wide between him and Zach Charbonnet, and this was a week, you know, after Kenneth Walker was on the injury report for most of the week. Now, going into this week, now assuming that this DNP on Wednesday isn't anything more than a rest day, are we looking at Kenneth Walker as somebody who we could expect to see 18 to 20 touches this week?
It seems like it. I don't see why they wouldn't. It worked last week. What did he get? 19 touches or 19?
Yep.
Rushing attempts last 18. Week.
Yep.
Yeah. So I don't see why they wouldn't. I think that because this game is going to be Seattle now a 3-point favorite, I think, in this one, meaning they should be able to control the ball a little bit and not, you know, be playing from behind or anything. So when Pete Carroll wants to run the ball, it does feel like Walker's the guy he wants to give the majority of the work to.
Yeah, and I see that. I see right now, I see a 2.5 favorite, you know, and also, you know, Tennessee, I mentioned Will Levis not playing. Are they going to be less competitive with Ryan Tannehill? You know, I can kind of see that situation playing out too. So I do think that, you know, we saw Devin Singletary just have a huge game against the Titans last week. They got gashed on the ground. And this could be a similar situation, you know, with Kenneth Walker kind of taking potentially 20 plus carries in this game. So, you know, going into last week, I wasn't so high on Kenneth Walker.
Same.
In terms of like just for the entire playoffs. But now it seems like, you know, he could be started as RB2.
Yeah. You know, you're just talking about the we're trying to get everything right. I had to send a few apology letters to people for saying to bench Kenneth Walker. Because I didn't think it would be that good against Philly, because that's one thing they have been decent is stopping the run. And he came through last week.
100%, especially on that amazing touchdown run that he had. That was a disgusting play.
Yeah, right, he's there. Capable so of good. Those.
Michael Pittman estimated as a limited participant in practice on Wednesday, which is a pretty good sign for him to play this week. You know, he could be on track. Clearing the concussion protocol is never a slam dunk, so just keep monitoring his practice reports. His matchup isn't ideal this week, but I do think that he should be in lineups. Keenan Allen still isn't practicing as of Wednesday. Monitor his practice reports. He's still dealing with that heel injury. We'll see if there's any more updates from him for the rest of the week. Hopefully he can play. I have a feeling that, you know, without Justin Herbert, he's not too excited about it.
Would you be?
Yeah, I wouldn't be either, honestly. Nico Collins back at practice today. We'll see if he ends up practicing in full or is limited. We still haven't received the practice report, but he has been seen on the field in practice. Great sign for him to potentially return this week. The last time he missed the game with a calf injury, the following week, he had two limited sessions and then finished the week with a full session on Friday. So hopefully the progression here is that he gets at least limited today and then a full practice on Friday, likely without CJ Stroud. Okay, this is not an ideal matchup. I think I have to downgrade Collins a little bit, because of the fact that he won't have Stroud and this isn't the best matchup in the world. Like last week, you know, we saw Noah Brown go off, but like it was against the Titans, right? And the Titans are not good against wide receivers. So something to keep in mind, right? I think I'm going to have him in that, like, you know, maybe high-end wide receiver 3 range, like borderline wide receiver 2 range. I didn't have him in my lineup, in my rankings initially. So I think that's kind of where I'm going to have him at this point.
Yeah, same. I don't have him ranked currently. I wanted to wait and kind of see if he, you know, is trending in the right direction. I just really don't like the matchup. I don't know. I'd probably have him kind of in the Drake London territory, maybe, like wide receiver, late wide receiver 20s, maybe. I don't know.
Okay.
That's kind of what I'm feeling right now. With Denzel Ward back, I'm just, and with Case Keenum playing, I don't know. I'm a little nervous.
Yeah, I'm a little nervous too. Like the decision I have to make in the league, I have to choose between Kenneth Walker, Nico Collins, and Devin Singletary.
That's a tough one.
I know. And right now, as of today, I'm probably leaning one of the two running backs.
Yeah.
As of today.
That's so usually my tiebreaker. I'll go running back because there is less chance of like a 0 point game or like one target.
Right, exactly. It looks like it looks like Ramondre Stevenson will likely be out another week. Keep monitoring his practice reports, but Zeke probably continuing to be the guy there. Same thing in the Vikings backfield. It doesn't seem like Madison will be back. You know, both guys dealing with high ankle sprains. Monitor those practice reports to see if Zeke and Ty Chandler, you know, are as startable as they are without them. Now, I want to talk about Ty Chandler for a second here, because, you know, last week, obviously, he had all of the opportunity in the world, and I think he's going to get some opportunity in this game as well. But I think one thing to keep in mind is one of the reasons, me personally, why I liked Ty Chandler last week was because it was a good matchup, right? And the fact that we know he was going to get touches against the Bengals, and, you know, we knew that the Bengals aren't great against the run, and they're not great against running backs. So now, in this situation against the Lions being one of the best, you know, run-stopping teams in the NFL, I don't necessarily feel the same way this week than I do about Ty Chandler last week. I know he got it done for you. I know it's exciting to have this new, like, shiny running back who just killed it last week, you know, on your roster. But I'm not sure if I'm going to be even starting Ty Chandler as an RB2 this week.
Yeah, I have him at RB26, if that helps. kind of, you know, where you're thinking of ranking him. Javonte really struggled last week. The Denver.
Guess where I have Ty Chandler?
26.
Yep.
I do like him better if he's getting all the volume. And there's a lot of teams in playoffs right now that, I mean, they're in this round because of him last week, because they added him off the waiver wire and he helped him get a win. But this feels like more of a flex play to me this week than an RB2. And so it's really roster dependent. I agree with you. I'm not optimistic of playing at Detroit.
Yeah. And then I just mentioned Zeke also. Like, I'd rather play Zeke personally against Denver than I do Ty Chandler against, you know, even though Zeke didn't have the good game last week, Ty Chandler did. But Zeke, you know, not as good of a matchup this week, though, against Denver. I think he can get it done. You know, I don't have a lot of confidence in the Patriots offense, but, you know, they have been playing a little bit better since the quarterback change. And I think Zeke's going to get so many touches. He's very involved in the receiving game. I think his floor is much higher. I kind of like Zeke a little bit more.
I do, too. We're in agreement there.
Okay. Brian Robinson still isn't practicing. That Washington backfield was an absolute mess without him last week. I don't want to start anyone in this matchup against the Jets. And when I say that, that means anybody. But that also means Antonio Gibson will put up like 20 points most likely. But I do want to stay away, you know, after we saw them not give Gibson, inexplicably, to be honest with you. You know, they didn't give him the work that I thought that they would give him with Robinson out last week.
It's so funny that you said that. I did my podcast last night going through every matchup. We did a little earlier this week. I think I said the exact same thing, like almost verbatim. I just was looking at the Commanders and I go, I don't want to start anyone. like, even Sam Howell, who's been awesome this year, I was like, no, I don't really want to start him either.
How low do you have Sam Howell? Because I have him pretty low.
I do too. And I looked at it. I had to do a double take. I was like, is this where I want him? But the matchup's so bad. I have him right now. Maybe this is too low. I have him below Tommy DeVito. I got him.
Yeah, QB, I hear that.
I got him at QB 23 right now.
I have him at 22.
Okay.
You're starting Zach Wilson over him if he goes?
Yeah, I would. Yeah. I mean, this is one of those situations. He's been bad the last 2 weeks. He got bailed out 2 weeks ago because he had the two rushing touchdowns. But he's been, 11 pass attempts and 14 pass attempts in each of the past two games that he's played? And those were – some of those matchups were decent. Like, this is not a good matchup. He had the Rams just 11 pass attempts. He was 11 out of 26. And then the week before, 12 out of 23. And the only reason he did good against Miami was the two rushing touchdowns. So I feel like the coaches have had enough film on Sam Howell, and maybe some of these better defenses are able to reel him in a little bit. And I think the Jets are one of those defenses.
I think we might have to downgrade DeAndre Hopkins in case Will Levis doesn't play. He had a few games with Ryan Tannehill this year, and it wasn't great. I don't really love the matchup either. Are you downgrading DeAndre Hopkins this week?
So what happened to Tannehill? Did he just literally just fall off a cliff?
Yeah.
Because it must be what happened. I'm still trying to figure out where I want to rank Hopkins because I'm having a hard time because the matchup on paper is very, very good. I currently have him as a mid-range wide receiver too. Right in that Calvin Ridley, T. Higgins territory. But I don't know. Last week, I thought he'd have a really good game. Didn't happen. I am a little bit nervous with Tannehill. I still think he's definitely startable. Is maybe more like a back-end wide receiver too. I'm still starting Olave tonight over him for sure. But I don't know. I still think
Hopkins is such a polarizing player. I feel like every week I either have him too high or too low.
Yeah, you know, and I feel like I've gotten it wrong a few times. Like, when I think he's going to smash, he doesn't. And then when I think, oh, this matchup, like, what was it, the game against Cleveland, when he just went crazy, and that was a tough matchup? Like, I was like, there's no way I'm starting him. And then he goes nuclear.
It was Atlanta. It was Atlanta. Where Will Levis threw those four touchdowns. And Hopkins
he scored had
those
35 three fantasy touchdowns. Points.
Yeah. That was the game. And it was a tough matchup, right? Yeah. And you look at Will Levis, you're like, all right, well, you know, I kind of liked what Will Levis was doing. Now you bring in Tannehill. Now what happens? it gets confusing. And if I have other options, I might consider them. That's just me, though.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill didn't practice on Wednesday, but he is back on the practice field today on Thursday. That's a good sign. Hopefully he'll be out there for your fantasy team this week. We'll continue to monitor those practice reports. If he plays, he is in my lineup.
Oh, yeah.
Now let's move on to quarterbacks, okay? I have the usual suspects at the top, Jalen Hurts, Josh Allen, Dak Prescott. You know, these are the guys like I'm most willing to start and have the most confidence in, right? Like that's how I do my rankings, right? Projections plus who am I willing to start, right? Yeah. Dak's matchup against Miami isn't ideal, right? He plays the best at home. This defense has been playing well, you know, but 49.5 game total, right? 1-point spread. You know, that's what you want to see. You know, you want these guys to be in competitive games. And, you know, Dak, you know, listen, last week, it was one of those things they couldn't stop the run. The Bills kept Dallas off the field. And, you know, it was a game script that did not work out in Dak's or the Cowboys' favor at all. So this week, you know, probably expecting something a little bit different, right? I wouldn't expect them to just completely shit the bed. But I think Dak Prescott could end up, you know, having a decent game. Maybe not the ceiling that we've seen that he's at home, but I think he can put up a decent day, and I'm not thinking about benching him after last week's performance.
Same. I actually think that Dallas is going to show up in this one. I think they rebound. I think they have a good game against Miami. I don't have him ranked quite as high as I've had previous weeks, but I still got him at 4. I got him ahead of Mahomes still, because I do think that 50.5 over under, the fact that they're only, what would you say, a 1-point underdog in this one? Yep. I think it's going to be competitive. And I think they can win this game. So, I'm not overthinking it.
The next guy I'm the most confident in is Brock Purdy. You know, outside of these four, like not really overly confident in anybody because I think everyone else has a big range of outcomes. Like maybe Mahomes has a high floor, but we haven't seen the ceiling out of him, you know, in a while. Like I like Justin Fields this week against Arizona. I think he has a high ceiling this week, and I think his floor is relatively safe, I would say. Out of the guys I just mentioned, maybe lumping Lamar in there as well, going up against 49ers in San Francisco. Who are you most worried about out of the options that I just mentioned? Obviously, you're probably not worried about Brock Purdy, but Mahomes, Justin Fields, you know, guys who are up and down, and then Lamar.
You know, I'm actually kind of high on all those guys. I don't have a ton of fear about any of them. I feel like Mahomes, the Raiders have just always been like his little brother that he just pushes around. So yeah, his ceiling, like you said, it might not quite be there, but they're playing at home. I think he's going to be fine. I actually have Purdy the lowest in my rankings. I actually have Fields up at 3. I really like that Arizona defense is so bad. I feel pretty confident that Fields is going to be able to get it done, even if it's just with his legs. So I'm the lowest on Purdy. I got him at QB7 this week, but I'm like, I don't think I'm like down on him, if that makes sense. I just don't have him ranked as high as some of the other guys.
No, I think that makes sense. I for me, it's just like it all comes down to like, you know, the scheme, right, for him. You know, it's just like every single week they figure out how to get it done. Even in a tough matchup a couple of weeks ago, I don't remember who they played. I think it was Seattle. The type of coverage that he just like struggles against historically, he just came through regardless. He didn't necessarily play his best game, but like his guys were like wide open at times, and he just ended up getting it done because of circumstance. So I really like Purdy this week, regardless of the matchup. But yeah, no, I agree. If I had to play for the ceiling, I think Justin Fields is up there. Lamar, a little bit worried about him, but as long as his weapons come through, you know, he can come through as well. But I think for me, probably Lamar's got the guy that I'm going to have ranked the lowest of this group. Maybe between him and Mahomes.
Yeah, and I completely agree with what you're saying. I struggled. Basically, I keep flip-flopping. I did have Purdy ranked higher like 2 days ago, and then I flip-flopped him. I think Baltimore, I think they need to unleash, you know, Lamar. He needs to run more in this game, I feel like. This defense is so good for San Francisco that I almost feel like they need to just have that secret weapon that they can't really game plan against, you know, that they can't practice against a scrambling Lamar. I'm kind of hopeful that we see that Lamar, because if he's just sitting back trying to pass it, I think he's going to struggle. So I'm hoping we get like full Michael Vick, you know, video game Lamar Jackson in this one.
Wait, you don't think the Sam Darnold can play the Lamar Jackson scout team role?
Remember when like teams would take like I can't think of a specific example, but they take like their fastest player and they try to simulate like Lamar Jackson. I'm like, well, this isn't the same. Like, that guy can't throw the football.
You one know? Is not like the other. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%. Okay. So those guys are the guys I mentioned in my top 10 for the first time this year. Dun, 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 I have a new top 10 quarterback and it'll only be for this week. Can you guess who it is?
Baker Mayfield.
Yep. Baker Mayfield entering my top 10 at home against Jacksonville. Four of the last five quarterbacks to face the Jaguars have had great fantasy outings. But the main thing for me is that I have a little bit more confidence in Baker Mayfield, like as a quarterback. He's been up and down, right? But he hasn't really had the best matchups. Like if you look at the matchups he's had over the last, like, I don't know, like 7 or 8 weeks, like it hasn't been great. So I'm also looking for, you know, a few quarterbacks who I'd usually have above him. And their matchups aren't great, right? So, like, kind of I had to move him up, right? So if I'm trying to start someone between him and, like, Trevor Lawrence, like, even Jared Goff, like, even Kyler Murray, you know, tough matchups for those, like, for those last two guys, like, especially Goff and Murray, both not at home, right? And then I'm looking at, like, guys like Mullins, Browning, Flacco. Like, these are guys that people are really considering streaming this week. Yeah. But I think if you have Baker, I think you got to start him over all these guys.
Yeah, actually, I had moved him up, and I'm looking at my ranking. Something must have happened where it moved it back. I had him at just above Tua, actually, and that might be a little bit high compared to where you have him. I was debating between him and Jared Goff and Tua, and I'm like, you know what? He's essentially averaging the same points per game as these guys, and his matchup's just a lot better. So why would I not, you know, essentially move him up higher? So, yeah. Top 10 for me as well.
Our sponsor for this episode is Better Vision. It's an app that allows you to keep track of all of your bets in one place. If you have accounts on all of these different sports books, you have to switch between them to see whether you're up or not. You lose track of where you place certain bets, and it gets confusing, but not anymore, not with Better Vision. All of your bets are tracked in one place, and not only that, the best part is Better Vision will let you know which betting platforms have the best odds for certain bets. All right. So if you like a play, normally you would look through all of your apps one by one to see which one has the best odds. And then you end up playing on that app. But why not have a side-by-side comparison all on one screen within one app? And then you just click on the bet that you want to make within Better Vision and you're good to go. Okay. Go check it out. It's completely free. Go to bettervision.us or go to the app store and search Better Vision. That's better with an O. So BETTOR Vision in the app store today. I love it. I love it. You know, Trevor Lawrence is he has a great matchup, but like obviously he has to overcome the concussion protocol, first of all. But also he doesn't have Christian Kirk. He just lost Zay Jones too. Right? So all he has is Calvin Ridley and Evan Ingram. So the weapons just aren't there for him. And he's been playing okay, but I'm a little bit worried the fact that, you know, for the rest of the season in terms of like him not having his weapons. So even though this is a good matchup, you know, and I do like Calvin Ridley, this might be the highest I've ranked Calvin Ridley for several weeks now because of this matchup, but at the same time, like, I'm a little bit worried about it. I think I might lean some of these other guys in tougher matchups over Trevor Lawrence, but we'll see.
Where do you currently have him?
Lawrence, I have Lawrence at 9, so it's not that low. But it's you know, it's I'm a little bit worried, even though it's a good matchup.
I'm curious because he's bounced around between like 9 and 12. I've got him at 12 right now. I'm trying to decide between him and like Kyler Murray in a tough matchup. You know, I don't want to move him below Geno, or probably don't want to move him below Russell Wilson. So I'm kind of stuck with him where he is. I don't think I can move him any lower.
I hear that. All right. I mentioned Nick Mullins. I liked him last week. He came through for me in a couple teams in super flex leagues, but he got all of his playmakers involved, right? He made some big throws. He definitely made some bad decisions. But for the most part, I liked what I saw, especially for fantasy, right? And he gets the Lions this week at home, one of the best matchups of the week. I have him as my QB 15 this week because, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he finishes top 10, you know, like most quarterbacks do when they face the Lions.
Yeah, I actually have him one spot. Yeah, I swear, I feel like my rankings aren't updating for us, so I have to look at this. But I have him at 15. I had him at 16, and then I decided to move him up ahead of Geno, just because I do like the matchup.
Which makes him a very, very solid streamer, you know, in this scenario. So if that's what you need, if you're looking for somebody, you know, you lost a quarterback, you might not have Trevor Lawrence this week, you don't feel confident in some of these other quarterbacks. This week, Jared Goff, you know, I think, you know, I'm probably starting Goff over Mullins, but like I can understand the case for, you know, starting Mullins over him. Just keep in mind that Goff is playing in a dome. He might not be playing at home, but he is playing in a dome.
I think like Goff, I had heard either last week or 2 weeks ago, has no more outside games. And I like to hear that if I've got a fan, you know, so the Lions, they should be scoring points.
Yeah, I think so. And Minnesota's defense, though, man, they've been playing well.
I know. They've been really good.
Not the same defense that we've seen over the last couple of years. They were just, you know, Minnesota's defense was like, you couldn't wait until your quarterback or wide receivers went against Minnesota. It's not the case anymore.
Well, I first noticed it when they like smacked the 49ers in the mouth, you know, early in the season. And it just seems like they've been tough ever since then.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. What are your thoughts on Jake Browning at Pittsburgh, Joe Flacco at Houston? And would you start them over Geno Smith this week?
No, I probably wouldn't. Browning, I don't like as much now that we don't have Chase. I think it's going to be more difficult for him in this matchup. He didn't play all that well last time they played Pittsburgh. This time it's on the road and he's without Chase. I think he comes back down to earth a little bit. Joe Flacco,
would you
I'm struggling.
Joe Flacco over him?
Over Browning? Yeah. I got Flacco at 17. Good. So I really like Flacco this week. It's on the road. So it's part of me gets nervous that, you know, this defense, the Texans defense, they played pretty well last week. Just makes me a little nervous that the floor could be lower than we think. You know, Flacco has been good. He's averaging 18 fantasy points per game, but I still got him at QB 17. I think he's a good super flex second quarterback option, or if you're really desperate, a streaming option. But I do think there's a little more risk to him than we might be given credit to.
Can you imagine like before the season, you're like, hey, in your championship, in your fantasy semifinals or quarterfinals, you're going to have Joe Flacco as your starting quarterback. And it actually worked out, you know, like, that's not something that I would have had on my bingo card going into this year.
No. Well, and what's crazy is this year I've learned more backup quarterback names than any other year. There's quarterbacks playing this week that I didn't know who they were, you know, a couple months ago. Like I had Jake never Browning. Heard. Yeah. I had not heard of Jake Browning. I had not heard of Tommy DeVito prior to this season. So, you know, there's kind of your usual suspects of Taylor Heinicke and Joe Flacco. It honestly makes me go, how is Joe Flacco not on a team, you know, prior to this? But yeah, it is pretty crazy.
Why is he not on the Jets? Right. That's what I've been trying to figure out.
He's Rodgers' doppelganger. He should definitely be on the Jets. Cause then you could at least go, Oh, you know, he's back in the huddle. Like Rodgers is back.
I can't, dude. I every time a quarterback does their thing with any other roster, with on any other team, we're just like, why didn't the Jets go get him? Why didn't the Jets go get him? Why do their quarterbacks have to suck? Anyway,
I still don't. The guy, I already forgot his name. The guy you guys finally cut that had a 1-13 touchdown to interception ratio in college.
Tim Boyle.
Yeah. I just don't know how. He knows somebody in the building. He knows
Rodgers. No. He's Rodgers' best friend. He's like one of Aaron Rodgers' best friends.
Well, no, I want to know how he got to Green Bay for us. Like at some point, somebody decided this guy should be drafted.
Yeah. You know? That's true. Yeah. Speaking of Green Bay, Jordan Love doesn't have a great matchup against Carolina in Carolina. So I don't have him ranked too high. Don't want to start him this week. Sam Howell, like we talked about him already. I have both these guys very low. If you have Jordan Love, you're probably staying away, right?
I am. I have him below Flacco. We just talked about. I got Love at QB 19.
Sure.
A couple weeks ago, I was like, Packers, Jordan Love he's come around. Like these Packers look like you can't bench him. And then the last 2 weeks have not looked as good. So, I'm not as confident.
All right. Should we be starting Tommy DeVito against Philly over them?
I mean, if I just look at the matchup and I close my eyes, I go, heck yeah, I'm starting him. But I can't. I don't think I can do it.
Tommy DeVito had three touchdowns against Washington.
No.
Well, but Washington is way worse than Philly, but like in terms of like pass rush and all of that. But still, it's like it could happen. It could happen.
I just love the have you been looking at Sleeper, the like little icons they give to these players lately?
Tommy DeVito's.
He's just in a Santa suit holding a pizza. Like it's they're leaning into this Italian thing so much. I love it. But yeah, no,
who did that is definitely not Italian. I'll say that.
What's that?
The person who put that up is definitely not Italian.
Probably not. But yeah, the matchup is there. Here's what I'll say. I would not be surprised if he has a game similar to what he had against Washington. But he's also had some duds this year too. He didn't play very well against New England. So I don't know. I got him at QB 22. That's all I can say.
All right. So not really. Okay. No, got it. No. So let's move on to running backs. Okay. Christian McCaffrey, Kyren Williams, Rashad White. For me, it hasn't, I don't think these guys are dependent on matchups at all. Like no. these are just like for me the three main staples since like 3 weeks ago that like they're just the top three for me every single week regardless of the matchup. Like I don't care what the matchup is. They're probably going to be in a very similar order. Like maybe if the matchup is like so good for Rashad White, I'll move him above Kyren Williams. But I like Kyren Williams' matchup more than Rashad White this week. The good thing about Rashad White though is that Jacksonville is one of the worst teams in terms of giving up production, through the air to running backs. And that's Rashad White's specialty, right? Yeah. And we haven't seen those like really high reception numbers out of Rashad White over the past several weeks like we've seen earlier, in the year, because he's actually run the ball a lot better in the second half of the year than he has in the first half. But this is his wheelhouse, and this is every single running back that goes up against Jacksonville ends up pulling down like four or five receptions. So I think this is a really high ceiling game for him, especially in the receiving game. But then obviously Kyren Williams just getting ridiculous volume and actually performing like a good running back.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Do you think people realize how good Rashad White's been this year? He's not, I think it's like the gap between, Christian McCaffrey and these next running backs is so big that he kind of blots out the sun a little bit, but White, 16 points per game. Okay. It's good. It's not elite by any means, but his consistency, he has just been
deviation is like zero. Like he's so consistent.
He's so consistent. He hasn't had a single point game since week six. He's gotten you at least 13 points every week since then. He hasn't put up any 30 point games, but it's always hovering between like 15 and 25 or something like that. And yeah, like you just said, he actually hasn't recently been getting it done on the ground, but he's had 20 rush attempts in three straight games. And if that, at any point, he can get 10 receptions. Like that's in his range of outcomes. And you just add that to the volume he's getting on the ground. It's almost impossible to rank him outside the top five every single week, regardless of the matchup.
100%, man. Let's make sense of this. And we talked about Alvin Kamara. You're obviously playing him. I have him at four this week. But Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane, assuming that Achane will be a little bit healthier this week, with that toe injury going into last week, I think, he had a decent role last week. I don't think it would have been the same role if he was completely healthy. I think he might have got some more touches. And usually in the second half of games, when Miami's leading by 30 points, usually that running back would get some touches in the second half. Like the guy who didn't get in the first half would get in the second half, like we've seen before. We've seen both of it happen, like Devon Achane in the first, Raheem Mostert in the second. But I think because of that injury that he's facing, I think Raheem Mostert is a must start. We saw what James Cook did against Dallas last week. Tyreek Hill, probably won't be 100%. I would assume Miami leans into the run game once again. I'm starting Raheem Mostert over Devon Achane, but like he's a must start for me. And then Achane is more of a upside RB2 play.
Yeah. Yeah. I have Achane right now. It's kind of hard to rank him. I feel like little bit nervous. His upside, we know what it is. I've got him ranked as kind of a back end RB2 with definitely upside though. You just have to, it would be nice. Like after this Thursday game, if you have an idea, if you're playing from behind, I'm wanting Achane in my lineup, because of the upside that he provides. But yeah, Mostert, like you said, I got him at seven this week. Guy, he's going to be arguably the best draft pick of drafts this year. He's just been so good.
Yeah, man. And I have James Cook pretty high too. I have him at six. He's just been on fire. And I talked about him a lot, you know, this week. And I talked about his utilization. His underlying metrics, like, really going down since Joe Brady took over, like snap count, his route participation under 50%. But the key has been the rate at which he's been targeted on the routes he is running. His targets per route run has increased tremendously since Joe Brady took over. The type of routes he's running, when he's getting the ball, how he's getting the ball has completely changed, right? And obviously they leaned on him in the ground game last week against Dallas, right? So he's just killing it right now. And it's one of those things where, for me, you know, I'm a big analytics guy, right? I look at the numbers, I look at the underlying metrics, and that is a huge factor into how I rank these guys, right? So if I see a guy like Gus Edwards getting, like, you know, two touchdowns a game, but he's getting like eight touches, you know, and he's not explosive, you know, I probably won't be ranking him as an RB1, right? However, mm-hmm. in this scenario with James Cook, it's one of those things where you just have to ride the momentum sometimes, right? And I think this is an example of that.
I totally think that. Yeah, they're using him. He's arguably their best weapon right now. What I like about him too is, like you just said, when he does get targeted, he catches almost everything. Like, nothing, there's hardly any drops or just misfires between him and Allen. He's got 47 targets on the year. He's caught 40 of them. And he's good after the catch too. Like, he, you know, just two catches last week, 42 yards. Five catches the week before, 83 yards, 57 yards. He's getting decent yardage. He's efficient. I think, like you said, you got to ride the wave.
How are you feeling about Joe Mixon this week? I don't know if you've noticed this, but Chase Brown has been pretty involved over the last 2 weeks. Last week, so Chase Brown ended up getting hurt in the third quarter. He ended up leaving the game and then coming back into the game in the fourth quarter. Before he left the game, he was leading in opportunities and touches over Mixon. So now, going into this week, like, listen, I'm still ranking Mixon high, because I still think he's going to get volume. I still think they're going to depend on him, you know, on the ground game. In the ground game, this, because I think this is a decent matchup. Also, you know, on the other side of the ball, you know, Pittsburgh has serious quarterback issues, right? They're starting Mason Rudolph at quarterback. So the game script should be there for this entire running game. So there could be a lot of touches to go around. But, like, Chase Brown could be coming on more than we think here. And it could be less apparent if you were just looking at the box score after the game last week.
Yeah, no, he is. I actually really liked Chase Brown in the draft process. He didn't get drafted. No, he's a fifth-round pick. Sorry. He didn't get drafted where I thought, where I was hoping he would. So I was a little bit cautious of him because of the draft capital. But the guy was an uber athlete, a good receiver. And I think he's the better running back right now. Like, so I think there is some reason to be worried. I still like Joe Mixon. I'm not, like, super down on him. But, you know, what is he? The RB is mixing like the RB7 on the year, something like that. I got him ranked as,
and that's where I have him.
This week you have him there. I do.
It's not to have him outside the top 10.
I agree. It's a good matchup. I'm actually looking. I'm too low on him right now because I got him like as a mid-range RB2 this week. He's kind of in a tier with a lot of these guys. Like, that, there's actually a lot of running backs with good matchups this week. There's, you know, Swift,
very good matchups.
Breece Hall, Derrick Henry, even at ETN. Mm-hmm. I don't mind his matchup that much. So he's kind of in that range for me. And, like, me having him at 15 versus you having him at, what'd you say, 7? It's actually not eight. As crazy.
Yeah, seven, yep.
At 8, it, like, that's a big, kind of a big tier for me. So I get moving him up that high just because the matchup's good. But I don't know. I am a fan of Chase Brown, so I could see him still getting more work.
I can see it too. I think it's somewhere in the middle where I have him ranked too high, and you might have him ranked too low.
I think fair.
I'm looking at this right now, like, because, you know, I'm looking at a few of the other guys, like, who do I trust the most? And I'm looking at Pacheco coming off the shoulder injury. I'm looking at Josh Jacobs coming off his injury. I'm looking at Breece Hall. Like, how much do I trust that situation? You know what I'm saying? And it's just a few question marks here, but then these guys have good matchups, right? And I'm looking at Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, against Minnesota, you know, a little bit of a tough matchup there too. Even Gibbs. Though I do think, but it's Gibbs, right? And they can get it done through the air. Yeah. Now, if you had Breece Hall and Bijan Robinson in your lineup last week, the chances that you made it past the first round, were not high. But if you had a bye week, right, or you know, you somehow made it through despite the terrible performances, you're faced with a dilemma this week, right? And I think I'm likely going to have both of these guys in my lineup this week, okay? And I know it's like it's crazy, okay? But you know, with Breece, like I'm assuming Zach Wilson plays, okay? Like Breece has an amazing matchup. He had a bad matchup last week. I was still willing to play him, but this week it's really tough to have him out of my lineup, right? With this matchup, and I'm again, this is if Zach Wilson plays, okay? If he doesn't play, I'm going to be moving him down. And then Bijan, is Arthur Smith really going to do this again? Like I don't see a reason for him to. Of course, I'm speaking logically, and we know Arthur Smith isn't all about that. But Indy is such a good matchup. Okay, if I leave Bijan out of my lineup this week, I better have some really good options. Vegas is expecting a close game, according to Fantasy Life's Game Hub, but the Colts are allowing the third most rushes per game against them by running backs, the eighth most rushing yards, the second most rushing touchdowns, the fifth most receiving yards to running backs per game, the fourth most yards per reception. I can't give it up, dude. So the guys who absolutely killed lineups in week 15, I think I'm back in this week, especially Bijan. Again, if Zach Wilson doesn't play, I'll move Breece down the ranks a little bit. He becomes a little bit easier to replace, but even then, like depending on my options, he might just have to be in my lineup as well.
Yeah, I closed my eyes and I just pushed Bijan up to six. He's my RB six this week. I don't feel great about it, but let's just, you know, like in Men in Black when they took that like flashy thing and you just like forget, you know, what just happened. They do that flashy thing. Right. If I just do that for last week, Bijan was on a roll. He was doing very well. I think it started when everyone was questioning, you know, they've been doing it all season, but Arthur Smith was taking a lot of heat about not playing Bijan more. And then he had that big 27-point game against New Orleans. My hope, just like you just said, I hope that pressure got to him a little bit this week. They're talking about his job even, you know, even the owner was asked about it. So my hope is, I better give Bijan the ball a little bit more. The guy I used the fifth pick on, maybe I should give him the ball. So I agree with you. This is an insane matchup for him. If the matchup wasn't so good, I probably wouldn't be this high, but the matchup's just too good. I think he's going to have a good game.
Yeah, I do as well. It's tough though. I totally understand the hesitancy to putting him back in your lineup, but like, listen, we're here. It's a one-game sample size at this point. You know what I'm saying? This is, you just need to win one game. If you need to win one game, I think Bijan should be in there.
I also heard a funky stat. I don't remember the exact stat, so you'll have to look it up. But that the Colts have hit the over on like every game this season. So
makes sense.
You know, maybe it'll happen again.
Makes sense. Who would you rather start this week, Kenneth Walker or Devin Singletary?
That is a tough one. I got to see where I have them ranked now.
You know why I'm asking, right? Because I didn't get my question answered earlier.
Which one? What was? Oh, about your lineup. So I'm gonna go with probably Kenneth Walker. Okay. I think there's a chance Singletary gets more volume than Walker does, but I like the matchup better for Walker. I don't love the matchup as much for Singletary, so I'm gonna say Walker for this one.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We got to wrap it up soon. But I do want to mention a couple of other guys real quick who, you know, I think will get the volume and have decent matchups. Zeke Elliott, we talked about him earlier. How are you feeling about Aaron Jones this week without AJ Dillon? You just a 10-second synopsis.
I think we might finally get one Aaron Jones game this year.
Love it.
There maybe not a 30-point game, but like a 15 to 20-point game, I'm hoping.
I love that. I want to hear it. Give me more. Okay. what about Austin Eckler? Where do you have him this week?
Oh God. I out of respect, I have him ranked as, cause I respect him. I have him ranked as a mid-range RB2. It's just so bad there right now. This offense, it's hard to rank him any higher, but
I have him at 27.
Oh gosh. You know what? I had him low like that, but this is what I said.
Respect.
Respect. It's out of respect. Sheer respect.
Out of respect. It's so bad. We'll see if I end up moving him up by Saturday, but we'll see. It's a big if.
It's not a great matchup.
Yeah, it's not. All right, this is going to do it for this episode, guys. We appreciate you so much. Again, the rankings are at upperhandfantasy.com. Go check out Steve's podcast as well. Fantasy Guides. You can find that on any podcasting platform, and Fantasy Guides on Instagram. We'll have all the links in the description. We'll talk soon, guys. Take it easy. Steve, appreciate you, man. Take it easy, guys. See ya.
Thanks.
Bye.